that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this third day. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Doing well. And good morning, John.
Good morning. You have to turn yours up a little bit. I can't hear you too good.
Oh, on me? All right. Yeah, we kind of swapped headsets here at the Radio Ranch, so we'll see if we've got them all working there. Is that any better there, John?
Still not very loud on mic to me.
Not very loud back
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, not very loud for me either.
All right. Well, we'll see if that doesn't
help. Put the mic closer, maybe.
How's that? Is that a little bit better there?
Yeah, that's better.
All right. Well, good morning. We got everybody here and there, but we are coming to you live this third day of August 2013, live from the Radio Ranch, and this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we're going to open up in a word of prayer, and we'll open up the phone lines this morning. There's lots going on, and we'll just, we've got a few things to talk about, but we thought we'd open up the phone lines early if you want to call in and mention something this morning, but we'll start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. The blue sky, the sun's shining out, the green grass. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone and to speak with your remnant, to fellowship with each other, to have a time to read your word and to discuss the events of the day. Lord, we thank you for this. We know that it is lacking in so many places out there, Lord, just the opportunity for good Christian fellowship. Well, Lord, we ask for your blessings on it. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be here with us. We gather in your name, Jesus Christ. We know where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there also. So we welcome you here as well. We ask you to guide and direct our thoughts, the scripture verses we read, the things that we talk about, that it would be pleasing to you, and that it would be a blessing to the remnant that are out there, that are scattered from sea to shining sea, because that's how you want them to be, Lord. We know you call one from a town and two from a city, and you've always had your remnant. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for calling us into that remnant, for calling us out of the darkness and the evil that is in the world. Direct us this day, and again, let it be a blessing to you and a blessing to the remnant. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, there is certainly plenty going on out there in the world. Didn't know if you guys had something specifically you wanted to start with today. I'll put that out first. I had a little note that is kind of a blast from the not-too-recent past coming up. John, didn't know if you had something on your mind to start with this morning.
I'll hold off a little bit.
Okay. How about you, Jason?
Well, it's just interesting. If you look at the headlines, as of yesterday, it's obviously that there's a lot of terror going on around the world. Terrorist threat.
Yes, Yep, we saw that. I think the U.S. closed down, 13 embassies across the world because of imminent terror threats? Is that what you're talking about, I think?
Must have lost them.
Yeah, maybe we lost Jason. Jason's traveling this morning, and let's make sure I get the right one cut off here. Let's try this. Are you still there, John?
Yep.
All right. Well, Jason's traveling this morning, so he if he has an opportunity, he'll give us a call back. He had some stuff to do early this morning, so he was on his cell phone, but I don't know if you saw that. I saw that the last 2 days. Thursday, it's possible U.S. embassies to close. And then yesterday, I think there were about a dozen of them that closed there. Let's see if we got Jason there. Hey, good morning, Jason. We get you back?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Phil, go right back in. We were just talking. You were talking about the terror threats.
Yeah, just you see the terror threat. It's obvious that something is. There's just this spirit of terror when they go out and they close all these embassies all across the country. And did anybody get a chance to see how many of them they actually closed?
I was thinking it was 12 or 13 all across the world.
I was in 13 different. Countries, I believe, is what it was. I was hearing like 56 when I was looking at the map, counted the ones up that they were showing on the map. I mean, and that's just, that's something that pretty much, even 12 of them, that's unheard of. For them to close them down like that. And if you look at just, I was on the Drudge Report late last night looking at the headlines, and it was just obvious. They were doing this, they were doing that, just all kinds of things, just because, they were scared of what, the potential terror threats that might be out there. And it was really obvious that they really didn't have any, they sure didn't give you any information about what was going on, just that there was terror threats out there, and, they were shutting it down.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen too that what's been going on with this Benghazi thing, but that whole thing's coming apart on them. They've just proven that they had a bunch of CIA people on the ground there at Benghazi, and now they're changing their identities and hiding them in places so that they can't testify as to what really happened that night. So.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of what happened with that, SEAL Team 6. Same story until they were killed, taken out of the equation. Then they couldn't be questioned anymore.
Yeah, and that's nothing new under the sun. There were lists and lists that came out during Clinton's administration of, that was not somebody you wanted to be associated with after he got in because, anyway.
You might have ended up committing suicide with your hands handcuffed behind your back with a .44 Magnum to the back of your head while you were tied up.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
which is what happened to a lot of them.
Oh, it is. It is. These international installations are closing. That the decision was taken out of an abundance of caution and care for our employees and others who may be visiting. And Yeah, something's going on that they're not putting it out. It may be just that the powers that be may be running scared. We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see as
Yeah, well, what I'm seeing a lot. Go ahead, John.
A headline, Governor Huckabee, you know, who's run for president before, but anyway, she says, "Welcome to the United Police States of America. No-knock raids have increased 3,000% in the last decade." And I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but some woman cop in Santa Ana, California, shot an unarmed homeless man right in the chest for calling her a bitch, basically. Walked out the door, and she said, "Get on the ground," and he says, "No, bitch," and she shoots him right in the chest.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yes.
Yeah, they're out of control.
It is. It is. Well, if we, it seems like I remember reading in the Bible somewhere that says if we won't follow his law, he'll give us some other laws to follow.
Yep.
And
that's what it boils down to.
28 be fulfilled.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's a scary thing when you look at the
realm of that. That's exactly what it is. We're going to, I think, address a couple of those in the scriptural review of the news tomorrow morning there in Deuteronomy 28, because if our people would read the word, they would see that that in itself is coming true, the curses. Deuteronomy 28:15 to the end of the chapter, what is it, 69 or 70, the curses. Yep. And those are happening, those have happened here in America. And, you know, that in itself should show people that this nation is who those blessings and curses were directed at.
Yep. I tried to bring that to those men there in that Chicago gathering that I go to, and they just pretty much poo-pooed it and laughed, you know.
All right.
I'm like, well, you can go ahead and laugh and not believe it, but I'm telling you, you watch it, it's going to unfold. And we're watching it unfold.
We're watching it unfold, yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, is the confusion in Babylon. Holy cow. They're all backbiting each other and throwing each other under the bus. And just this week, the Obama IRS chief admits to Congress he wants to keep his health care, doesn't want to be forced into Obamacare. Now, this is, you know, somebody who's working for the regime. And then all of the aides that work for the senators and the House of Representatives are whining that their health insurance is going to double, and the government just decided they're going to pick up all of that cost to shut them up, you know?
Right.
So it's just one thing after another.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
Then, you know, what I've noticed lately is it seems like there's people out there that are getting irate, is the word that Paul was talking about on Solutions last night. It was interesting because he commented on it, and you know, I've seen it lately where there's certain people that I think that it's just, you know, the Lord has certain people that he has picked out first that are allowed to see things. Their eyes are open to things that you know, he grants them that truth of understanding. And you know, there's always a group that can see it first, but lately there's been people that are getting irate about these things. They're getting upset. They're getting fed up with it. And they're seeing, you know, that, hey, this isn't going to just affect me. That's not going to just affect my children. This is going to go on for generations. You know, and what is taking place right now in the last few years is, you know, a generational curse that we brought upon our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. And you know, there's people that are waking up to that and starting to understand it, which is, you know, that's encouraging, because until a person wakes up to some of these facts, gets upset about it, there's nothing you can do to change it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because when the people don't care about it, as most of the people do here in this country, most people don't care. You know, they're either under the spell or they're so fluoridated up and full of the poisons that are in the food and that are in the water, that they really don't care. They've just been effectually neutered, you know. the steers we have out in the pen. You know, they don't care when we move cows next to them. You know, they just moo and say, "Oh, don't eat my hay." You know, when you move them cows by a bull, you get a different response. And there are still, like you said, Jason, I think a few bulls out there, a few people that haven't been neutered, that do care, that they see how bad, truly how bad things are getting, and they realize that it's like, I like how you put it, that it's generational. It's not just us. It's not just our children. And there's so many different facets to it. You know, we've been praying for years that God would turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and we see that in many places. You know, just the opposite of that is we see the bumper sticker on the big, you know, $500,000 motorhome that says we're outspending our children's inheritance, and that has been the attitude for several generations now in this country. And,
right.
And Hosea 4:6 is true. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then it goes on. And if you forget my law, I will forget your children. And I think we're third or fourth generation into that. You know, that there's some of us in the remnant that are fighting out of that, that are coming out of that, that, you know, because we have remembered God, God has called, he's always had his remnant that he's called. And he's called that remnant of a remnant, and those that have heard the call, that have seen, have sighed and groaned and seen that, hey, something ain't right here. And then when we search for answers, we find it.
And that's all a part of thinking outside of the box.
It
you
is.
Know, it really is. When you start thinking generationally, now, you know, our enemies have been doing that a long time. But they think generationally. They think generations ahead.
Yes.
On, you know, what we can do in this generation, how is it going to affect three generations down the line?
Exactly.
And that's the way they think of when they look at genetics as well. You know, you don't look at what this is going to affect in the next generation. You think, you know, 3, 10, 20 generations down the line, and it's all based on cause and effect. And, you know, they've conditioned our people to, you know, do that. You know, we're spending our children's inheritance, and, you know, it's all about you. That's a selfish statement.
It is.
And they did their best, their darndest to, you know, create a selfish people. They didn't want us to look out after our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, you know, which is what the Bible says a wise man does.
Yes.
A wise man doesn't look out after children, but his grandchildren and his great grandchildren.
Yes.
And you know, they've wanted to destroy that. That's one of the things that they've targeted, you know, with all their plots and conspiracies against us.
Very good point. Very good point. Well, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you do want to join us for Coffee with the Wranglers. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen it or not. I haven't really confirmed it, but I heard that for like the last 20 days or something, the national debt clock just seemed to have stopped because it's approaching the $17 trillion debt ceiling or whatever. And did you see the House of Representatives and the Senate and everything? They can't get along, so they're just going to call a recess. You know, they're going to take 30 days off, which is probably the best thing for the country. But anyways, when they come back in September or whatever, I guess they only have like 9 working days to try to resolve the debt ceiling problems and the government shutdown. And so that's going to be a joke. I don't even think, you know, they can't even control it anymore. It's out of their hands.
No, they really can't. I was looking at that. And if you look at them when they're talking about some of these issues right now, it's pretty crazy because I'm seeing it more. I don't know if they've just if they're getting just so bold and brazen about it, but it's like their comments are, "Oh well, we'll just cover it up," you know. And the members of Congress and of the House and stuff that they've heard the comments, "Oh, just cover it up, just hide it, just cover it up," you know. It's like, wow. I mean, that's telling. You know, you.
Yeah, we need to come up with a list of all the ones that need to be run out of there. Only problem is there'd be none left, I don't think.
Yeah, basically, John, it's all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. You know, got
you,
a quote
you
here.
You profess Jesus Christ to be right. your Lord and Savior.
Got a
nope.
quote.
Okay, you're on the list.
Got a quote here from John Adams from 1798. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And, you know, that in itself explains part of why we don't have constitutional law today. And you know, people say, oh, well, you know, we can argue this on the Constitution and that on the Constitution. No, you can't. Because we do not have, in general, a moral and religious, a Christian people anymore. Not at all. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines and see who's up this morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I'm Jim from Norton, Mass.
Good morning, Jim.
I was wondering, I'm trying to get baptized. I used to be a Catholic, grew up with a Catholic, but I got out of that. And I'm
Very
looking
good.
Out for a church around here.
Well, Jim, I know Massachusetts, it's a big place. We've got, I know of at least a few people that live in Massachusetts. What we recommend for being baptized is to look for a Church of Christ. Because we have found across the country that most Church of Christ's still baptized properly. I think of probably four people just this past year that I've personally spoke to that have been able to do that. Just go to find a Church of Christ either in your town or even a couple towns over that they usually baptize properly. And that is that it's a Christian man that baptizes, that they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and it's by full immersion in water for the remission of sins. And so that would be the first, I think, recommendation we'd make to you, Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to add something to that, too.
Sure.
It's one of the, when you're dealing with these churches, the best thing to do just like the pastor used to say, is if you go there to get baptized, be careful. And usually the best thing to do is get in and get out.
Yep.
Because, that's one thing that they do have right, is their teachings on baptism for the remission of sins. But for the most part, a lot of the other issues that they have, they're still neutering bins.
Yes.
Well, there was one up in Mansfield, next town over. I went there a couple of weeks ago, but they were saying that in order to be baptized, I have to make a commitment to stay there.
Right.
in there.
And see, that points out exactly what Jason said, is that, you know, most of them are. Most of them do, baptize correctly. But a lot of them, if we baptize you, then you have to do such and such. You have to make sure you come to this church, you know, and then it comes down to they want your money. How far away are you, Jim, from, like, Cape Cod?
About 20 miles, 30 miles, 30 miles.
Well, we got a, I don't know if you tune in a lot, but, I think Rich from the East Coast lives right over there. I think they're up in Cape Cod, aren't they? Aren't they, John?
Yeah.
Right up in that area. So, tell you what, Jim.
I'm sure Rich will drive down to that.
Sure. Place. Yeah, we've got basically an Acres of Diamonds man that lives an hour away from you. Jim, let me give you the office number, and if you want to give me a call after the broadcast today, we'll go from there. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Can you take this?
Hey, Jim, have you read How to Become a Christian and Don't Miss Out and the pamphlets that the pastor has written?
Yes. I've been wanting to for a long time, all the churches around here, they all have the, what they call a Schofield doctrine. Where the Jews are the chosen people. And,
right.
It's terrible.
Right. Well, Jim, let me give you the office number, and give me a call after the broadcast this morning. I'll be here. It's same area code, 307, and then 742-7582.
Okay.
And that's good for anybody listening. That's the office number. We're usually here during the week, Monday through Friday, and but we do come in over here on Saturday morning. And but yeah, give me a call afterwards, Jim. This is Richard, and we'll sure do what we can to help you with that.
Okay, thank you, Rick.
All right, Jim. God bless.
All right,
thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You know, he does have his at least 7,000 from sea to shining sea, here, there, and everywhere that that are his.
Yep, and I'm sure if Rich is listening, he's excited about it.
That's right. Well, the phone number here for call-in this morning is 307-745-5913. It is here at the beginning of August 2013. This year is certainly flying by, and I just don't know where the time goes. It's August already, and I thought we were still in May there for a little while.
I know.
So
I know. It's so hard to believe. It's like it was just the approaching the 4th of July, and right. Here we are a month later.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a challenge to try to get a newsletter out every month. I'll tell you what, but judging by the response of the remnant out there, they sure do appreciate that effort. So we'll keep putting it in.
Amen. Amen.
And that is Hot on the Presses.
Yes.
Volume 7, 2013, Salt of the Earth is on the presses, and if you're not getting that newsletter, you really should be. So we do offer that free of charge. We're not trying to sell anything there to you, but we do want to make those truths in that newsletter available to you. So you can write to us, you can send us an email, you can call the office, however you want, and we'll get you on that. Just request that Dragon Slayer newsletter.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right, and we'll go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Good morning, Richard. Hey. Calvin here.
Good morning, Cal.
I have some observations I was making on the past few months. I've been listening to these hot spots of warnings from places. They always seem to be someplace where we can't verify these threats. Always overseas. And then most of the time I just say, well, who cares? You know, it doesn't bother me. If it's in Hickory, it'd be a problem with me.
Right.
But anyway, that's an observation. The other thing is that they reference to our troops, and I would like to make sure that we realize that they're federal troops that are overseas. They're not our troops from the Israelite. They may be our boys and girls that got trapped in it there, but it's not something that you and I are going after, searching out,
right,
to make war with people overseas. And then one other item that came up in a different light was on these cruise ships, that apparently somebody uncovered the fact that the FBI has made an admission that there's about 30 times more chance of being involved in some crime aboard those because they're never reported. Less than 18% of the crimes on a particular cruise are reported to outwards, local police in town or the FBI. It's only to the cruise security. They have their own. So be warned, not especially against children. And most of the crimes are against children. Mm. And that's about my 2 cents worth this morning.
Appreciate it, Cal. You know, when you talk about those the terror alerts and things going on overseas, it reminds me of what happened in Egypt recently. What was it, just a couple years ago, the Obama administration helped set up the regime that was in Egypt, and that went on for a little while, and then it was just, a couple months ago, I think, that they basically overthrew that leadership, government leadership, that we had set up over there as a nation. We had set it up. Now they've put their own people in there, and it's just a mess, over there.
And I feel a lot of these things, Rich, are due to the fact that our economic situation is so shaky, with the other parts of the world realizing what's up with this fiat currency that we're pouring out and printing out. And they're trying to keep the emphasis off of the economics and it is really beyond their ability to create enough problems overseas and try to figure out how to distract us. But I know there was an admission yesterday or day before on one of the stations I listened to on shortwave that China has been grabbing gold to the point where they have already gotten about as much in by the end of July as they had all of last year for the whole year. And they can't find any more available to give you an idea. Anyway, keep up the good work, man.
And, thanks, Joe.
And the spirit that we're after is the spirit of the Lord. And that's
amen.
What we go with.
Amen.
Amen.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Cal.
Hey, Jason, a thought occurred to me. Maybe you should contact the Federal Reserve and see if we could purchase one of their printing presses, since they seem to be able to turn money out so fast that maybe that would help us with the Dragon Slayer newsletter.
Yeah, see if they got an old one that they wouldn't mind donating to us as a write-off or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Convert it over to print newsletters. Well, and then the other thing that we've learned, and we've got a caller. Caller will be right with you in just a second. The other thing we've learned is when we see in the media that they're doing this, they're doing that, you know, there's two things. One, we probably take the exact opposite of what they're doing and be closer to the truth. But the other thing is, it's like from The Wizard of Oz, which was, I think, the first color movie that came out in the United States. And that's how long that they've been, at least that long, since they've been telling their story. And it's pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, but just see what we're doing over here on the grand screen. And so they're talking about all these terror alerts and closing embassies and all that. So that's what they want the people to be seeing. That's what they want the people to be thinking about. What we have to do is, as was mentioned earlier, think outside the box. They're wanting us to look here at their right hand. What's their left hand doing while their right hand is putting all this stuff out? And I think that's something we need to pray about and be, you know, see what is truly going on. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, about this terror alert thing, when I woke up the other day and saw that, I just remembered back to remember when little Georgie Bush was in there and they were always having these orange alerts, orange terror alerts, conveniently when I remember when that Colleen Raleigh, that FBI lady that was going to testify, and I was anxious to see what she said, and she was nowhere to be found because there was a terror alert. And there was another instance where they killed 50 or 60 people at a wedding party, and there was going to be an investigation, and all of a sudden there was a terror alert. The Bush was using those to wipe things off the news way, the news air, you know. And I'm thinking that this is being done to get rid of Snowden NSA story, because people will be thinking, oh, you know, Americans will be thinking, oh, good, we have the NSA to warn us about these things. And I think this is just a ruse to clean that story off the airways and make people believe that the NSA is doing something good. So
I agree with you. I didn't get your name. I'm sorry, caller.
Yeah, this is Kent from West Virginia.
Kent. I think you're absolutely right. You know, we were just starting to talk about that's what it is when I think John mentioned wag the dog. And that's what happens. When we see this going on, it's a diversion. It is to form public opinion. It is to, you know, rally the troops, something other than what is truly going on. It's a diversion.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we just have to try to ignore it, but they're covering up something, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kent.
All right.
All right. And we'll see who we got on the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. I think I lost my other guys.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
In 2 Kings, the first verse, can you read what that says in the Septuagint?
No, I don't have a Septuagint back here with me. Our 2 Kings 1, chapter 1?
Yeah, the first verse.
Of chapter 1.
1:1, yeah.
Now, in the New American Standard, it says, "Now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab." Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't have I don't have a Septuagint Bible back here with me. I'm back in the back office here. Sorry. Do you have one?
No.
Sorry about that.
We all know that Elijah called down, or he sacrificed, you know, in the fire. But a question came to my mind: how did he know that sacrifice was going to be burned up? I mean, he was pretty sure. He would have had to have been positive that that was going to happen. And, you know, we can say faith all day long, but it's not far from there that he's out in the wilderness asking God to let him die. So
right. Well,
I just, you know, they called them people back then, they called them seers.
Right.
At one time or another.
They did. And I think that it was the moving of the Holy Spirit. It would be, you know, he knew that at least at that point in time, he was doing God's will. It was in, you know, some way, somehow, God had let him know that. Because, you know, and there was a taunting there as well that he was doing. You know, oh, go call your, maybe you need to yell a little louder. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to do that, as he is taunting the false prophets.
Yeah, in my mind, he was absolutely sure. So maybe he was looking up.
Right.
Maybe he was looking up and seeing something.
Well, and there's times that God does that, you know. The Bible tells us that it's a wicked and perverse generation that asks for a sign, but that doesn't mean God doesn't give signs to his people, you know. He let them see, you know. He let them see the chariots of fire up on the hill.
One reason I was asking about the king of Samaria, he fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber.
Uh huh.
You know, you could ask the question, what was he doing up there in the upper chamber, and to fall through a lattice, you know. Seems like there's something, you know. Why would he stand on lattice? That's only thin veneer to keep the sun out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
But those 50 strong men that are written about in chapter 2, in my mind, that could only be the 50. That Elijah did not call fire down on, you know, earlier.
Right.
To me, it could only be them, and they're at Jericho, and the sons of the prophet there at Jericho, they saw that the Spirit was now on Elisha, but yet they said, let these guys go out and see if maybe the Spirit of the Lord didn't throw Elijah down in some valley or on some mountain.
Right.
Now, how did they get that in their mind? They would have had to, in my mind, you know, those 50 strong men, they knew something. They had just come from the king of Samaria. As far as I can see, they didn't go back. The only one that went back was Elijah and the captain of that 50. It never says any more what happened to them, but
right.
You could easily see that's what it means when it says 50 strong men. So I believe they knew something. In other words, that just because he was taken up doesn't mean that it was the Spirit of the Lord that took him up. And yet Jericho was blessed. And Elisha done it with salt and a new crew, so did that spring. And salt, I don't think, is good to throw in a spring.
Well,
were blessed.
It was there. I mean, there's a, you know, what we have to look at is what happened. And then, you know, see that it was of God. It was of God that those 50 men did that. that said, oh, well, we'll go look at them. I think it was because they were still the natural men. They were 50 strong men, but they weren't spiritually appraised. They were just the natural men. They didn't right. realize that when he was taken up, that it was, he was taken up by God. They said we'll go look for him. You know, maybe he's just over here, over in this valley. We'll go look for him. And so it's.
Did you ever think when Gideon had those guys, or the Lord had had them break those clay jars, the significant? You know, when you brought the clay, you know, people are made out of clay.
Right.
And when the clay is broken, the light shines forth, and there's something about the out of sons of light or something. I don't remember, but
it is. It was a foreshadowing of that very thing. Of, you know, when we who are made of clay are broken now, then you know, and accept and obey the word when it comes to Jesus Christ and baptism, then just that very thing, that light of Christ is able to shine through into a dark world. So, yeah, there's...
It's more than that. It's also that, you know, we've got the weapons of warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And at that time, and at that period in time, you know, the weapons that Gideon was given were not the weapons of that time.
Right.
But... you know, we can learn. There's so many things that we can learn from that story. One of the things we can learn is that, you know, he was given a spiritual weapon that was effective against his enemies. And it it wasn't a lot of things that, you know, the modern weapons of today, of that time.
Did you know that, when he told his servant to go look for rain, did you know you can open a Britannica encyclopedia and look at a picture of a comet, and they look just like a hand many times?
I didn't know.
No, I did not.
Yeah, they that one scientist, he says that they bring water right out of the heavens. They create it out there. They also cause arcing to take place between the planets. You know, Jesus said, "Lightning from the east shineth even to the west." Lightning don't do that.
No, he was being symbolic of
in hill country. Yeah. If you're right. Over 100 miles away or less.
Right.
You won't even see the flash.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's symbolic of something else. So.
Yeah, we need to move on so we can give
Let me ask you one last thing before we move on. That horse, that donkey that Jesus told them to go untie, he said, whereon never a man sit. Now, what's likely to happen if a person sits on a donkey that's never been sat on?
Well, when it's the Son of God, he who has dominion over all things, then the donkey's just
that's
a servant
for him.
That's
not what I asked. I said, what's likely to happen if you sit on a donkey that's never been sat on? They'll throw you down.
That's quite possible. That's more than likely what's
really
going to happen.
Depends on what kind of cowboy you are.
That's right. Well, caller, thanks again. We appreciate it. And we're going to go to a quick song. We'll be back right after this. Well, we welcome you back to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hope you like that song. That's one of the theme songs that Shane and I has worked on that we've been able to use, and it's Riding for the Brand. And that's on Circuit Riding Preacher Songbook number four. So, well, Jason, we'll, before the hour gets away from us, we'll make sure we invite everybody to church tomorrow.
That's a good idea. We need to do that.
Yeah, we definitely want to do that. And so we do invite you. We say, come to church with us. We do have, you know, a lady coming out from Texas that's flew into Colorado on some business and had told us she was going to be there with us tomorrow. So if you're able to join us in person at the La Porte Church of Christ, we do ask that you do that. Just give us a call or something and let us know you're coming just so that we can expect you. But if you can't make it in person, you can join us as well right there on your computer. You can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And if you'll go there at 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, that's 11 Central and noon on the East Coast, if you'll go there tomorrow morning and click on the live video stream, then we'll be able to you'll be able to join us for coffee.
Absolutely.
So
for church.
For church. You can call in this morning for coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, join us 10 o'clock Mountain Time for Scriptural. Yeah, actually it's gonna be Scriptural Review of the News this week. We got that all ready to go, and so 10 o'clock Mountain Time, and, you know, then I believe Shannon and I are going to have a new song for us this
You know, I think so.
Too.
I think so. He sent some stuff to me this week, and I think we've got it, got some slides made up for it and that type. So, yep, I think it's going to be.
And we've had, you know, it's been really encouraging because we had a baptism last week. And one the week before.
Awesome.
I believe it was the week before. So, you know, that's, you know, we it seems like we've seen several people getting baptized here locally lately. And, you know, just like that caller that we had early on in the program this morning, we've had several that have contacted us, been able to put them in contact with people across the country, and had several people out, you know, across the country getting baptized lately, too. So, you know, that's awesome.
It is. It's very encouraging. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you fellas this morning?
Doing good, Willis. Willis, let me pour you a cup of coffee. How about that? That's some good cowboy coffee right there.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I've got a fresh pot going now myself.
All right.
Hey, you know, I was looking at all these base closings or embassy closings or have going on, and I think my take on that would be that they're just running scared, you know, with all this spying on the American public, that they've got to come up with some reasoning for that. So I believe they're using all these closings as a reason to give them credit for all this domestic spying. They'll probably come out with some phone calls they intercepted or some emails they intercepted here in the United States that led them to come up with the information they needed to do that. That's my take on it. I don't know where that fellow was going with what happens when you get on a donkey for the first time scenario, but I got a feeling he was going the wrong direction.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either. But, you know, another little thing as far as news goes, you know, we heard about the $4 million Hawaiian vacation and the $100 million trip to Africa. But I heard on the news here a couple weeks back, and I only heard it for one short little second on the news, and that was that while he was over in Africa, President Obama, that is, that he pledged $7 billion to help upgrade their electrical infrastructure. And, you know, then the very next day you hear about how they're cutting domestic spending and cutting aid programs for people here in the United States. You know, I guess it just goes along with, if we won't serve him, that God will see to it that our money goes elsewhere.
Yeah. Good point. Good point, Willis. I think that points it out real well. It really does.
I think it does, too. Yeah, and as far as these, it could be either way on these these embassies down. I think it could be to the point where they're scared, though. I'm not convinced that it's just because they want to appear scared. There comes a time when those tables are turned, and they are going to be scared. Now, whether it's now or whether that's down the road, I don't know. But I do know that they're going to be terrified.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. God says that the men will be holding their chest for the fear and the agony and the pain that they're going through.
Yeah.
I think the fear is a big part of it. But
amen.
Well, fellas, I'm going to let you go. Let somebody else give a call. Let you guys talk. I just thought I'd try to get a shout in before this last half hour ran by.
All right, Willis. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend. I'll be looking forward to church tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot. And I think we got time for one more caller. Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, it's Terry from Toronto.
Hi, good evening. Or good morning, Terry.
So, anyways, out in near Burlington, Ontario, they have the Northern School of Infrastructure Protection. At least they used to. It was originally going to be in New Jersey, but the president before Obama said he wanted the CIA to participate. And in order for the CIA to legally participate, it has to be outside the borders of the United States.
Hmm. School for Infrastructure Protection.
Yes.
How about that?
And it was like a FEMA training school. And they offer courses online and so on. It's not really deep stuff. I received more intense training when I was with Ontario Hydro than I did from looking at their curriculum.
Right.
But something else, there was bulletins a friend of mine used to receive, and in order for the CIA to and other American agencies to legally do spying on domestically, they contract things to the British. So they have Echelon, which is a telecommunications monitoring system, and they have a network of satellites and various things. But funny enough, the transatlantic cables and the telex for port to port, they can't monitor that with the technology they had before.
Hmm.
So I don't know how reliable all this information is, but...
Well, Terry, appreciate you calling and letting us know, and I'm sure that some listeners out there will be, maybe looking that up, that School for Infrastructure Protection.
Oh, so some of their praise report. The diabetic ulcers on my feet have been plaguing me for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have finally closed up.
Oh, praise the Lord.
There's other health issues I have to deal with, but we're making headway.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that.
That's awesome.
I've called and done enough whining, so I figured it's time for some good news.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that.
Yep.
Anyways, talk to you later.
Thank you,
bye.
Terry.
God bless.
Well, Jason, we're just about out of time. We got a couple more minutes. You got anything you want to leave with the remnant before we close out this coffee?
No, we got our invite in for church, so I think, be sure to join us for church. Join us for scriptural review of the news. Check out the Newswire at sfawbn.com. And got a programs archived over there at that site as well. Hopefully by the end of, this week, middle end of this week, we'll have the new Dragon Slayer newsletter posted on the website, scriptureforamerica.org. So I know Richard's working on that, and when he gets that to me, we'll get it put up on there, and we'll be emailing that out as well. So check that site out. We still got a couple more days on it, but we'll get that up there and be mailing that out.
Amen. Amen. I want to leave you just with a little bit out of Revelation, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. It says in Revelation 20, verse 12, another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And then in Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. So we encourage you, remnant, to do the good deeds that we were created to do the good works, to not have fear or trembling when we see all these things. The world puts out their terror alerts, but that's not for us. That's for the world.
Amen.
And that when we see these things happening, and that we, and when we do not fear because of them, but we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what is really going on, knowing that,
yes,
that God is in control. I love what it says, that it is a sign of destruction for them. Us not being afraid when the world puts out terror alerts, when his remnant are not afraid of those things, it's a sign of destruction for them and of salvation for us. But, and it was mentioned earlier about thinking outside the box, we have to take our thoughts captive. We have to have the mind of Christ to be able to do that. And we sure hope that, that you have that. Well, we are out of time, and we do thank you for joining us again. Join us for church tomorrow at scripturesforamerica.org. And again, we thank you. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email, if you do want to send an email, is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.